If you take the word of God with me and turn to 2 Kings chapter 13, 2 Kings chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 14. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. And it says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel," and it says, "And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year." And I'd like to just speak for a few moments on this thought from this passage. Shoot. And let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd use your word this evening, Lord, to be a blessing to your people and to me. Lord, minister to my heart as I give it. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that it's perfect, and your word's never changed, and it's been the same down through the ages, and you've given it to every generation just as you've promised. And thank you for making that possible for us to have the inspired word of God in our hand. And Lord, I thank you for this time that we have to look at it. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless it. It's in the name of Jesus Christ I do ask. Amen. And as we look at this chapter, it's a bit of a unique portion of scripture. Notice that Elisha was about to die, and Joash is the king, and Joash follows every single instruction that Elisha gives, but the last one. And it's interesting in verse 15, "And Elisha said unto him, take the bow and arrows," and it says, "And he took the bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the string, upon the bow, and he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it exactly like he had told him to. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot just as the instructions were given. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. And he listened to every single instruction all the way up to the end. And he did everything according to plan. He got the bow and arrows. He put his hand upon the string. He opened the window, and he opened the window. He shot and just as he was told to shoot, and then he was told to take the remaining arrows and to shoot them. And what did he do? He just shot 3 and he left the rest of them there. He only shot 3. He said, and then Elisha becomes upset with him, and Joash was told to shoot them and take the remaining arrows, plural, and told to shoot them into the ground. And he only did 3 of them. What's the significance to that? What's the significance there of what's taking place? Well, the principle is this that's found in this passage. The arrows represent how much he attempted with the opportunity that was given to him. You know, Joash had the opportunity to shoot all of them, didn't he? And it, really, the principle is it shows how much he attempted with what the opportunity that was given to him. And he could have done more, couldn't he? He shot 3. That was okay. But he was told to shoot the remaining arrows, and he didn't shoot all of them. He smote thrice and he stayed. And the interesting thing about this passage is he didn't need to be skilled, didn't need to be a skilled marksman to shoot them. You know what? He didn't need to be the most talented with a bow. I shoot a lot of bow and arrow. I love to bow hunt, and there's a way to do it. There's a way to put your mouth to the string, and you got to do it the same every time if you want to be accurate from a distance. There's a button you put to your nose, get it in the same spot. That way the peep lines up. This is a modern bow. This wasn't like that in that day. But the fact of the matter was, is that Joash didn't need to be skilled to shoot those arrows into the ground, did he? He wasn't aiming at a target. He just was told to shoot the arrows. And he didn't shoot all of the arrows, did he? He didn't make good on the opportunity that he had. He didn't attempt all that he could have for the Lord. And interestingly enough, he didn't have to be skilled. You know, you don't need to be the most skilled or the best to attempt something for God. Isn't that interesting? You don't need to be the most skilled speaker to stand up and do what I'm doing or to do what other people do. You don't need to be the most talented person to be used by God. You just need to attempt. You know, we need some people who will just attempt things for God. We need some people that won't get caught up in all everything else. Oh, I'm not good enough, like Moses, who said, well, I have a speech problem. And he gave all these excuses. And today I feel like we have many, many people who have too many excuses on why God can't use them. And the fact of the matter is, we need more people who will just attempt things for God. All that Joash was told to do was to attempt, was to shoot the arrows into the ground. Can I tell you this? It doesn't take a whole lot of skill to shoot an arrow into the ground. He didn't have to do anything, just shoot them. Just shoot them into the ground, smote them, and he smote three times and he stayed. And you don't need to be skilled to do that. We just need to be willing to make good on the opportunities that are given to us. We need to attempt something for the Lord. I think of a story here. There was a man in Africa, West Africa. He wasn't very good at witnessing, soul winning. He said, "I'm just not good at being a soul winner." And I struggle with speaking to people one on one like that. And I just can't do that. And so he got this great idea. And the missionary said that I heard this story from. He said, he got this great idea that he was going to reach his friends and his family, but he was going to invite them to his birthday party, and it was going to be at the church. He said, since I'm not very good at soul winning and I'm not very good at witnessing, Pastor, will you just give them the gospel? I'll get them here. I'm going to give 100 invitations out. And will you please just give them the gospel? He goes, I don't normally, you know, have birthday parties at the church, and I don't like to use the church in that manner and things like that. And he said, but for this case, I'll do it. And so he said, great, great. And he was burdened for his friends and his family. He invited 100 people. And once you know, in their culture, that would be very disrespectful if they didn't come to show up to that birthday party. And so there was 100 people that came to the church to hear the gospel for his birthday party. And they lined the chairs up in a circle, and he put the pastor in there, and he said, the missionary pastor, and he said, go ahead, give him the gospel. And they had invited people. He said, go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor. And he invited their choir members, because those are the ones that dealt with people at the altar. That way they could just come off the choir and deal with those. Just, you know, if the Lord did a great work, they'd have people, workers ready for those people. And so he gives them the gospel, and almost every single person ended up trusting the Lord that night. Now, what is the point of that story? The point of the story is, what did that man do? He just did something, didn't he? He wasn't the most skilled. He wasn't the most talented, but he was burdened for his friends and his family, and he did something about it. I think there's a good thing there for us. I'm not saying don't ever witness. I think we should all work at being a witness for the Lord and be soul winners and seek to win people to Christ. But be creative in what you do for the Lord. Try, attempt something. We need people who will just do something for the Lord. And Corrie Ten Boom, there was a story about Corrie Ten Boom. She was on a plane, and the plane had an issue, and it was about to, they thought it was going to crash. And everyone started standing up, and the attendants were coming around saying everything was fine, but everyone could hear that something was not fine with the plane. And Corrie Ten Boom said, Lord, she was burdened. She said she wanted to stand up and witness to everyone and say, look, folks, I know the plane's about to go down. I know that this plane is about to go down, but I just have to ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? But she said she couldn't get up the courage to do that. And I'm really, quite frankly, it probably scared some people flat out of their mind. This plane's going down. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? But she didn't do that. And she was kicking herself and she was upset. She said, I was ashamed of the Lord, ashamed of the gospel in that moment. And she was upset. And this man comes to her afterwards. The plane made it safely down. And this man said, ma'am, I was watching you. And everyone else on the plane was scared out of their mind, but you. He said, may I ask why you weren't scared? And she ended up giving him the gospel and witnessing to him and telling him how she knew the Lord and she knew where she was going. He ended up getting saved. Aren't you thankful that God gives us more opportunities when we don't make good on the ones that we think that we have? You know, she kind of missed an opportunity, so to speak, but the Lord gave her the one that she needed to have. And I think the Lord gives us all opportunities, doesn't he? And this passage is really about opportunity. And I know that this is Joash's opportunity, and he didn't make good on his opportunity. And there's times in our Christian life where we don't make good on our opportunity. If you're honest and I'm honest, there's been times I've thought, oh, I should have said something. I should have done this. But aren't you thankful that God gives us more opportunities? We have a God who's willing. If we'll take the next one, he'll give us another one. And he'll give us another chance. And I recently felt the Lord telling me to go to Dollar General. I had been there the night before at a missions conference, and I knew the Lord had wanted me to speak to someone, and I didn't do that. And I don't think she ended up working that shift the next night, but I felt the Lord telling me to go back to the Dollar General on the way home from the conference and to find whoever this person was. And so I went in and I walked past this couple. It was a man and a woman, and they were about my age. And I walked by them, and they weren't the same person that I was looking for, but it was the one that the Lord wanted me to speak to. And I ended up witnessing to her, and she began to tremble, and she was telling me how she wasn't sure that if she'd go to heaven or not. And I said, "Well, would it be something that you'd be interested in knowing about?" And she said, "Yes." And I'd like to say she got saved that night, but she did not. But I'll tell you what, how the conversation started was I walked by her and she said, "You're looking very dapper this evening." And I said, "Wait a minute. That's a British word." And I said, "You know, I'm going to England and I'm going to tell people about Jesus." And that's how the conversation started. And that was exactly the person the Lord had for me to speak to that night. I was at the altar praying, and the Lord said, "Go to Dollar General. I have someone for you to speak to." And I don't know if she trusted Christ. Maybe never will know. But I got to give her the gospel. I'm glad the Lord gave me another opportunity to give the gospel to someone there. And I just want to show you a New Testament example, a couple New Testament examples of some people taking their opportunities that's given to them. In the New Testament, stories are great, but I think that the stories in the Word of God can give us even more powerful illustrations as we see them in Scripture. We look here, this is Paul talking to the Thessalonians, and in verse 4, it says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." I like that, don't you? Even so, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You know, we've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then it says, even so, we speak. You know, we ought to speak to people. We've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to speak the gospel to people. Take the opportunity that we've been given to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in that passage, it goes on to say in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God," who'd they hear it from? "Which ye heard of us." They heard the word of God from Paul and Timothy. "Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And notice in verse 19, "For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Notice the joy that they got to have and the fact that there was people who were going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ at his coming. They were joyful that they had reached them with the gospel, and they had taken their opportunity to reach the Thessalonians with the gospel, even as they were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And I want to give you just one other example and park in this spot for just a few minutes, if we can, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'd just like to share something with you. John chapter 1 and verse 41. This is, anyone ever heard the song, Let Me Be an Andrew? Let me be an Andrew. Bring my brother to the Lord. And this is the story about Andrew here. And what did Andrew do? He went and reached his brother and brought him to Jesus, it says. And he had an opportunity, and he made good on his opportunity. It says here, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Cephas, I might have said that wrong. But what did Andrew do? He went and he brought his brother Simon to Jesus. And once he had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and where did he go for? He went to his family. You know, we all have an opportunity with our family. I know I said that this morning. I'm going to say it again tonight. We have an opportunity with our family. How are we doing with the opportunity that's given to us with our families? Are you shooting all your arrows tonight and trying to reach your family? Are you attempting to reach your family? We ought to be attempting to reach our family. Look at the next thing, and there's a pattern here that I want us to see. He findeth his own brother. He first tried to reach his brother. Secondly, I want you to see here in verse 43, it says, the day following, this is the next day now, Andrew and Simon are following Jesus now, and the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida. Why would it give us that piece of information? Philip was of Bethsaida. It says the city of Andrew and Peter. It's very interesting to note that Philip was from the same city of Andrew and Peter. I dare say that Andrew and Peter knew who Philip was. Not only did Andrew seek to bring his brother to Jesus, but then they sought to bring their friends to Jesus, didn't they? They sought to bring Philip to the Lord. There's a pattern. We have an opportunity to reach our families. It's really one of our greatest opportunities. But if we're honest, that's one of the hardest, that's sometimes the hardest people to talk to. I know in my family, it's hard to bring up about the Lord to some of them. I mean, anyone ever feel like that with their family? I believe the devil knows that's because it's such a wonderful opportunity that's before us. And he fights us tooth and nail, thinking, because families are all over the world. There's families in Morocco. What ties every single continent to the same thing? Family. Everyone has a family. Everyone has if they came into this world without some machine, they came into the world through a mother and a father, and that we would all admit that's, I believe it's the cornerstone of civilization, is I have a mom and a dad and a family, and the Lord divinely did that. And made a way that the world can be reached through the family, I believe. And it's such an important opportunity. But we have another great opportunity with our friends. We must reach our friends. You say, man, he's getting really deep tonight. He wants us to reach our families, and he wants us to reach our friends. This man is really smart. But I'll tell you this, it's something that's not so much of a, hey, this isn't something new to you, but I think it's important. And it's good to be reminded of some of this. And I remember Pastor Sexton sharing a story. And he said, I believe it was talking about Maryville, Tennessee, where he was from. He said at one point, and anywhere you walked on any street, said you were almost every time you were met by a soul winner. That you could go down any street in that specific city and you were met by a soul winner. It was just, you almost couldn't walk down any, go to any street corner without somebody handing you a track. You know, that ought to be the norm in America once again. People trying to reach their city. Andrew and Simon, they went and they, the next day are in the same, where'd they start? They started in Bethsaida, where they were from. You know, that's where we should start. We should start where we're from and reaching people. And we should try to reach our families. We must reach our families. We must reach our friends. But then I want you to see the third thing here, very quickly. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Look in verse 45. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And it goes on to talk about Nathanael claims Jesus as the Messiah. Philip now has reached, we know Philip was an evangelist. He's, I believe it's the same Philip that met the Ethiopian eunuch. Would that be correct to say? And so he was an evangelist, and we see here he was an evangelist early on. Or as soon as he came to know the Lord, he went and found Nathanael. Now, where was Nathanael from? Nathanael was from Cana. He was a Galilean, and Philip was from Bethsaida. And I believe this is a picture of us not only reaching our families, not only reaching our friends, but then reaching the ones that we meet. The ones that we meet reach. You know, those are all the opportunities I think that we have with our family, with our friends, and then the ones that we end up meeting. Those are the opportunities that are laid. Those are our arrows, so to speak, that we have in what we, in attempting things for the Lord. And Philip here, he went and found Nathanael. He was of a different city, and I believe they were going from city to city. Bethsaida, then they went to Cana. They found Nathanael, and he also came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's a wonderful picture of men who took their opportunity. And if you go on in the Gospels, you'd read that those same men shook the world. They turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And 12 men who were willing to just step out and take their opportunities that were given to them. I dare say there's enough people in this church that you could reach your community of Bucyrus. I said it correct. I was about to say it wrong, but of Bucyrus. And there, if we all admit, we have people that we need to work with in our families. We all have people that we need to work with in our friend category. And then we all meet people every day, don't we? And we have great opportunity, don't we? We need to shoot. We need to shoot. We need some more people who will shoot and attempt for God. We need some young people who will shoot and will be missionaries for the Lord. And not just missionaries, that they'll be preachers and Sunday school teachers and faithful servants in the church. We need some young people who will attempt something for God. And not just, you're not off the hook either. I'm not going to say old people. I just did. Well, you're not off the hook either. Anyone else that doesn't categorize as young people. Okay? We need some people who will shoot. And I believe this is a wonderful picture here of someone who did not make good of his opportunity. And I think it's a warning, a reminder for us. We need to shoot, and we need to keep on shooting and shoot and shoot again. Attempt. William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. There was a missionary who, by the name of Borden of Yale. Anyone ever heard of that name? His parents owned a company called Borden Milk, the milk company. And he was going to be getting a wonderful inheritance. And he gave it all up. And he went and was a missionary. And he was willing to attempt something great for God. He gave up everything else that seemed so worth it to this world. And found something greater to live for. And we all need to shoot for the Lord. We need to shoot. With that being said, we'll close with just this thought. Something to ponder on as we leave here is one thing about shooting. One thing about opportunities is you don't get to get them back. Once you have an opportunity, you never get the same opportunity back. You get an opportunity, then what happens? It's gone. I got to play sports one time in high school, and then now I'm just a has-been, right? And then it's gone. You only get one opportunity at the things in life, and we need to take the opportunities of the seasons of life that God gives us, and we need some people who will shoot and attempt for the Lord. I hope this has spoken to your heart. May the Lord give you opportunities to speak for him, and may we make good on the opportunities that are given to us. And shoot all the arrows. Don't leave any back. Don't hold any back like Joash did. They said, Elisha said, you were going to smite Syria, destroy them greatly, if you had just shot five or six times. And he only shot thrice, and the Lord had something there for him, and he didn't grab hold of it all. May that not be said of us. May we shoot all the arrows that the Lord allows us to shoot. And may we pray and ask the Lord to give us arrows to shoot. I know this is wonderful. This is fun for me to speak on because I love to talk about bows and arrows, and maybe that's not like for everyone else, but shoot. Don't forget that tonight, okay? And Pastor, if you'd come along.